The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we receive revelation. Our hearts are open. We understand the word of God clearly. I pray and receive for everyone that a veil is removed. The darkness, the blindness in the hearts of men is removed this morning. We receive utterance, clarity, power in this meeting. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get to the word. Now, we started 2 weeks ago. Now, we've been addressing something. We're looking at our salvation and the assurance that we have in our salvation. Are you ready? You know, it's amazing that the major thing that brought us here is that we are saved. But it's still amazing that many people don't still understand that salvation. As simple as it is. I get the point. And I tell people, if you've not understood salvation, then I tell you, you've not yet understood the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:15 or 1 Timothy 3:15, check one of them. He says, I'm from a child. He says, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And he tells you what the Scriptures will do when you know it. What did he say? Huh? It is able to make you wise unto salvation. So the very major thing the scripture communicates to you, or scripture does to you, is that it makes you wise. And the wisdom he's talking about is about salvation. You see, that's why if you've not understood the salvation, then you've not understood the Bible yet. You're still struggling with a lot of things. It's okay to use the Bible. It's enough that you can play with the Bible. You can use it to teach business, or to do politics, or to even teach agriculture, because just to talk about the seed and the farmer. You can just talk about anything. But you see, if you've not understood salvation as basic as it is, you don't yet know the Bible. I get to the point. That's why it's possible to read the Bible from cover to cover and still be dumb with scriptures. You can quote it off her, but then you still don't know it. So the issue of salvation is an important one. And last week we were looking at the fact that God swore an oath. Remember that? God swore an oath. And so, you see, I tell people, God gave us salvation, and in order to make sure that you do not doubt it, he swore. And it's amazing. God, who can never lie, who will never lie, and who has never lied, in order to make you believe this salvation thing, he took an oath. And the Bible tells us, because there is no one greater than him, he swore by himself. So imagine God saying through to God. Hallelujah. You know, when a man swears an oath, he's putting his life on the line. So the God who cannot die put his life on the line. How do you get the point? Okay, let me put it another way. The God who cannot die said, if this is not true, let me die. You know, he said, if you ever lose your salvation, let me die. So you can imagine God just say, did he do that? True to God, if he's like, let me die. He said, if God really swear by himself, the Bible said, there is no one greater than him. He said, heaven is my throne. He said, the earth is my footstool. He cannot swear by heaven, he cannot swear by the earth, because he made those things. Eli said, I swear by myself. I put my life on the line. What is he talking about? Your salvation. He swore that oath, first of all, to Abraham. He swore to Abraham. He said, I swear. Hallelujah. He said, I swear. If ever tells us, that's Hebrews 6, he said he made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise and he swore to him. He swore an oath to him. So he made a promise about the coming of Christ. He swore to Abraham. You see, God promised Abraham. He swore to him to confirm what he has promised. And then in verse 18, look at verse 18 of Hebrews 6. Look at it. It tells us there are two things we can hold on to. I touched this last week. When we're talking about when someone asks you, can you lose your salvation? Is it possible? How shall we that salvation cannot be lost? He says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So, immutable. What are those two things? A promise and an oath. You remember that? A promise and an oath. So, have a promise of an oath. So, that is great confidence. And after that, God swore an oath again to Jesus. Of course, that's to himself. Hallelujah. He swore to himself. About the salvation. Bible said in Hebrews 7 verse 20, he said unto Jesus, he said, he made an oath with Jesus. He said, you shall be a priest forever. Let's look at it. Hebrews 7 20. He said, and inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. Put up NLT so I can understand it. He was talking about the Old Testament priest. He said, this new system established with a solemn oath, Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. Verse 21. But there was an oath regarding Jesus. For God said to him, the Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever. So what does it mean that he's a priest forever? Why would God have to swear an oath to him about that his priesthood? If you now get verse 24. He said, and because he's a priest forever. Sorry, verse 25. He's able to save to the uttermost. Because he's a priest. So when God was saying to Jesus, you're a priest forever, he was telling him, you'll be able to save to the uttermost. You'll be able to save people once and forever. And so when will your salvation end? When will it expire? The moment the priesthood of Jesus expires. And if the priesthood of Jesus cannot expire, if God took an oath about the eternal priesthood of Jesus, then forget it. Your salvation can never be lost. The amazing thing is that even people who are against eternal salvation are eternally saved. You're a believer, you believe in Jesus, you are against the fact that you're eternally saved. Newsflash, you're eternally saved. You still go to heaven. Because you see, God said it, that settles it. It's not about you, whether you like it or yes. God said it, that settles it. He swore an oath about it. And then we'll close last week by looking at things that Jesus himself said. In John 5 verse 24, he said, verily, verily, I swear unto you. And I told you that verily, verily appears like an oath too in the Greek. It means amen, amen, I swear unto you. Look at the screen. It says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has what? And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So Jesus himself said, he said, verily, verily. He put his life on the line too. In John 6, 36, 37, 38, 39, and 40, you see the same thing. John 6, that all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse 37, let's just get up from the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him. Verse 38. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, You shall not lose nothing. But what? Verse 40. For it is, everyone who sees the Son, and everyone. Are you part of everyone? This is the Father's. So once you see the Son and you believe in him, eternal life is yours. I closed with a very playful way last week. I say some people say, God can never leave me. Once I'm in his hand, he will never leave me. Then someone said, what if I jump out of God's hand? No, you can be mischievous with questions. He said, he holds me forever. Jude 24 says something that is able to keep you. So what if he's holding me and me now and I say, I want to jump out? If I jump out, I'll lose it. And the question, the answer I gave last week, I said, if this one is mischievous, I'm going to answer him mischievously. If you are giving a child to take care of, and the child decides to jump out from your hand, are we going to blame you or blame the child? We'll blame you. Even though it was the child that decided, God said it is his responsibility. If I jump out, he's at fault. So he will not leave me. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What I'm saying is that the day you got saved, you entered one chance. You're not coming out again. Are you listening to me? It's like Noah's ark. The Bible said when they entered the ark, the Lord himself shut the door. The Lord himself. And if he shuts a door, no man can open it. Not even the person inside. Hey! And so he shut the door. So if I had one chance, we are here forever. It's a great thing. You know, this is not a time to argue about your salvation. This is about time to celebrate your salvation. Blessed assurance. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'll try to tie up that. If after this service, you are still confused about your salvation, I'll pardon you. But I'll tell you what to do. Listen to it again. And maybe if you want to listen to it again, I'll tell you where to start from. Refer to our series on salvation, part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When you are done with the 6 parts, now get Blessed Assurance 1, 2, and 3. And listen to it. The remaining scales, your eyes will fall off. You know, it's amazing that people who argue scriptures on Facebook don't read it. Sometimes you spend, sometimes people argue with me, I say, what's wrong with you? Some of these things we've spent a whole 24 hours on the world studying them. Get the point? Sometimes I take my Bible, shut off everyone for 3 days, we're on the wall. And you that have never opened the Bible since 90 Abraham, you're arguing. At least before you argue, be wise. Know something first. I guess when you're arguing based on things that you've studied by yourself. That's why I normally encourage believers, don't argue. Don't be found exchanging words, fighting. No. Don't do that. If someone wants to learn, explain to the person. If he doesn't want to learn, let the person. You know, when people don't want to believe something, no matter what you say, they will not. When they start talking like that, just leave them, get to prayer. Because once they decide, I will not believe this thing you are saying, it's a decision in my heart. You just have to be wrong. I know some other people, it matters to them who is saying it. Who are you? Are you getting the point? Who are you? Are you not saying that this person is wrong? I'm not saying so. I'm only saying that the Bible said this. Hallelujah. And so today I'll continue with that issue of salvation. Are you excited about salvation?
Yes, sir.
There is one word used to describe our salvation. And that word is redemption. That's what I'll talk about this morning. I said we're going to have some time to pray this morning, so I'll try to be fast. That word is redemption. I'm going to use redemption to give you your third or fourth or fifth assurance of salvation. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says we have redemption. I get it? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so that word redemption is used to describe salvation. Now let me see if you know English. What's the meaning of the word redemption? English language. What does it mean to redeem? No, nah, it's not Bible. Redeem, to redeem something. What does it mean to redeem something? I'm here. We're not leaving here until you get it. To pay. Okay, that's better. So to pay, to buy back, right? To pay. Okay, let's work with that. Ebola has redemption. It means, so when he says we have redemption, when he says we've been redeemed, it means we've been bought. You get the point? To redeem is to pay and get something. You get the point? So we call it redemption. Is to buy back. Is the Greek word lutrosis. In fact, the word used there is apolutrosis. That when it says apo, that's what apo in Greek is like total, complete. So total redemption. It means to buy back completely. Now, Romans 3 verse 24. Let's look at our redemption. Romans 3 verse 24. Okay? He said, being justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means offering. Through faith in his blood. Go back to verse 24. Work with NLT. He said, we have redemption. New Living Translation. He said, yes. Yet God with undeserved kindness declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. Verse 25. Now I'm going to say, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of sin. So it tells us there's a redemption that happened in Christ. And the offering that was made was who? Christ Jesus. So let's bring a marketplace. Okay. There is a good that needed to be bought. Maybe this handkerchief. Okay. And then the buyer comes. He has to offer money, right? To buy. So we are the goods that should be bought. I'm going to use this simple thing. And the offering that God made to buy us was Jesus. Are you following? Look at it. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. King James would say as the propitiation. That word propitiation, I told you in the Greek, it means offering. So he was the offering that was given for our redemption. So Jesus is that payment that was made. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1 verse 13. Very quickly. He said, okay, put up King James. He said, for he has delivered us from power of darkness and has... Look at this. And has into the kingdom of his dear son. Next verse. Notice there's a colon there. Go back. There's a colon. Right? So he's about to explain something. Now verse 14. He said, in whom we have... So that what happened is redemption. So when we say to, we are redeemed. But then this verse tells us where we were bought from. Where were we? We were in the power of darkness. That's where we are. And then redemption happened. We were bought over and translated to another kingdom. The right word in the Greek is, in verse 13, is into the soul. We are translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we are bought over. We are in the kingdom of darkness. How many of you know anybody that is not saved in the kingdom of darkness? You know that, right? We are in sin. We are under the power of darkness. Jesus came, and I'm going to use this. This is not the best, but I'm going to use it. Jesus came, and I can imagine Satan saying to Jesus, "You won this once." He said, "Yes." I can imagine sin saying to Jesus, "You won this once." He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, what do you have to offer?" He said, "I'm giving myself." And then when that offering was made, the payment. Do you understand what we mean? Just the payment for sin. That's what we mean. When the payment was now made, the goods was delivered, and that's you. And that's what we call redemption. You find it also in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. It tells us that we have eternal redemption, which I will still come to. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, he said, of whom are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom. You know that place, right? But unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So in Christ Jesus, we are redeemed. We are bought. That's why I can show you like three scriptures, for instance, that will refer to us as people who have been bought. One of them is 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. It tells us that we are bought. So what I'm trying to tell you is what happened in salvation was a transaction. Someone offered money for something to be given to him. Of course, that money is the life of Christ, right? He gave himself. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He said, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. Look at verse 20. Let's read verse 20 together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. For you are bought with a price. So, we are bought. That's what we call redemption. I get the point. So when we say you belong to God, you really belong to God, because he came, just like when you go to the market and you pay for something, when you pay for it, that is rightfully yours. So we are bought with a price. In Acts, okay, before you go to Acts, 1 Corinthians 7, look at verse 23. We are bought with a price. That price is the body of Jesus. He said, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. We are bought. Somebody bought us. Hallelujah. I've been bought. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul was addressing the elders. I've taught on these scriptures very well this week. Paul was addressing the elders in Ephesus that day, and he says, take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you what? Overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So it was a purchase. Hallelujah. So it's like, so Paul uses slave trade to explain this. When someone is a slave, and someone comes, a master comes and pays, the person has bought that commodity. And from that moment, once they sign the papers, the other person, the guy, does not belong to the other people anymore. That's what happened in Christ. So we are bought. We are bought. Hallelujah. I've been bought. What was paid to buy you? Christ. Okay. I didn't plan to say this, but let me take it a step further. If this, how much is this handkerchief now? How much? You have not bought handkerchief in a long while. Okay. No, it's 30 naira. My sister, it has increased. Okay. Now, this 100 naira. Now, what it means is, it means if I give the seller 100 naira, he will give me this. It means this handkerchief is worth 100 naira. Is that true? Now, if the body of Jesus, you get, was given to buy you, it means that to God, you are worth Christ. Do you get it? If he gave his son to purchase you, I get the point. You see, this is where esteem comes from. I'm going to digress a little. I don't believe in self-esteem. I believe in Christ esteem. That esteem that comes from who I am in Christ. It doesn't come from my certificate. It doesn't come from the clothes I'm wearing. It doesn't come from how much is in my bank account. If God looked at me finished and decided that I was worth his son, decided that he can give his son to get me, come on, don't look at me like that. You get the point? It means to God, I am something. I may not be anything to you, but I'm something, and I know it. You see, that's why I say a lot of people are trying to dress to belong. They are trying to get certificate to belong. Dress well if you must. Have money if you must. Have a good result if you must. That does not make you belong. Your clothes can disappear in one day. Money can vanish in your bank account. You can lose your value when your certificate goes. But if it is this Christ esteem, hey, forget it too. God looked at me and felt I was worth, I'm worth something. That's why you see, if you're in an abusive relationship, and not just insulting yourself, you're insulting Jesus. A guy is beating you, and he's making you feel like you should be happy to be there. You're insulting Jesus. He feels you are worth him. Nobody adds value to me. I am valuable as I am. Why am I saying this? Okay, maybe that's for someone. But then he said, he purchased with his own blood. His blood is his life. So when he got to that market, he gave his blood. He said, give me these guys. He said, what do you have? He said, I come with my own blood, my own life. Hallelujah. I've been bought. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 9, verse 12, let's go back there. I have been bought. Maybe we'll use NLT this time. Hebrews 9, verse 12. He said, neither by with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption. How long?
Forever.
What it means is that he bought us never to return us back again. What it means is that I'm no longer in the market. It means I've been bought. I said that buying happened once and forever. So that's why we call it eternal redemption. You get the point? Look at next verse. Verse 13. Let's see the buying. He said, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurities. Impurity? Just think how much more. The blood of Jesus or blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice. Okay? That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God promised them. For Christ died to save them from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. So that's it there. So it means it's something that happened once and for all. When he gave himself, when he was sacrificed on the cross, you see, he gave himself as the payment for sin. And that is called an eternal payment. It means the man in Christ can never be bought again. It means the man in Christ is not priceable again. It means the man in Christ cannot return back to where he was bought from. Are you getting me this morning? It means the man in Christ cannot be thrown back into darkness. Never. Now, I'm not saying the man in Christ cannot make a mistake. That's very possible. Okay? That's not encouraged, but it's possible. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he said, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. So that's the plan. He said, but if anyone sins, he says, if that it means there's a possibility that one can sin. But look at what he said. He said, we have an advocate. He didn't say God has thrown him away. He didn't say he should get born again. He said, we have an advocate. So it doesn't mean he cannot sin. It doesn't mean he should sin. It means that when he's saved, he's saved. Say, sir, what are people that are saved, that are sure that are saved, but are still living in sin? I recommend something: spiritual growth. Once you begin to grow, when you give birth to a child, the child will not be able to walk at first, right? But it doesn't mean he's not a child. He just needs to grow, right? When you give birth to a child, the child will not be able to talk at first. It doesn't mean he's not a child. The child itself might not be able to think right. You know, children don't understand everything you say to them. But it doesn't reduce the fact that they are human beings. So in Christ, we are saved. We've been bought over. We cannot go back into the market again. We cannot be lost again. And then, I thought this teaching would be short. And then, when we are bought, 2 Corinthians 1:22. Put up King James. When we were bought, Jesus did something. Woo! Who had also sealed us. You know how you buy something and you put a mark on it? Are you here? So that everybody will know. He stamped. And that seal, Bible says, is the earnest of the spirit in our hearts. So the Holy Ghost, that word seal is the Greek word phragizo. It means to stamp with a signet or a private mark. To stamp. You go to an office and then they stamp, as in you get a document, and then the manager places a stamp, or the secretary places a stamp on that document. He's saying, this one is our own. That's what we call in the Old Testament, called a signet ring. You know a signet ring? That's what it means. It means to stamp with a private mark for security or preservation. So that whenever you see this mark, this one is our own. And so when he bought us, he didn't want, that's why it's amazing to hear believers, and they are scared about the mark of the beast.
You have a mark already. You have been marked. You have a mark. A mark is on. You know, let me say this to you. Some of you think, I say I'm day teaching, Shay. Some of you think the mark of the beast is 666. You're expecting a time when they're going to go putting 666 on people's face? Come on. Is that what they're expecting? They're putting 666 on people's face. Say, bring your face. Write 666. Now, let me assume that is true. And you believe that a believer in Christ who was not saved by works, who was not saved by the deeds of his body, that they can actually place a mark on his forehead and then contaminate his spirit man. Well, think about it. Hallelujah. They place a mark on your forehead and it goes straight down to your spirit and then defiles you and makes you unsaved. And that's why, say, when you buy biscuits, you check whether it's 666. You better be eating. You know, those things, they helped. You know, they helped to make us not to be collecting things from strangers. Hallelujah. But you see, there is no mark that the believer will get now that will corrupt him. The believer has been marked inwardly by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the seal. He says, now what is CCCs? Don't worry, I'm coming. I'm going to do a full teaching on the book of Revelation. I did something on that already. Revelation 1, 2, and 3. It started decoding Revelation. Remember? Decoding Revelation. But I'll still come to it and bring it. Maybe LMP, yeah, possibly. Maybe LMP. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you how. Because you think there's going to be a physical mark that's stamping on our forehead. And they say they put a chip on, say, put a chip on this forehead. This guy is saved. Put a chip here. No chip can unchip my salvation. You know, the truth is, when we came into Christ, we bought us, and he says that they may know that you belong to me. I'm going to put a mark on you. That mark is the Holy Ghost. That mark is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, let's play with this translation. This was book of another translation. Maybe we use NLT, we use Amplify. He said, NLT says, he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. He identified us. Hallelujah. Do you understand it? He said, so that everybody will know you are mine, I give you the Holy Ghost. So any day you lift your voice and say, Tele Krabba Shata Taleya Takoma, you are saying, I am saved eternally. You are reminding yourself that there is a mark on this hair, on this side. I've been marked. He identified us. So that mark is a means of identification. That's a mark. But amplify. He said, he has also appropriated and acknowledged us as his by putting his seal upon us and giving us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security. I'm coming to that. I get the point. He put a mark that everybody that sees that mark we know. He says, so who will see it? Well, that's why people think we are not saved, because this is a spiritual mark. That's why 1 John chapter 3, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And that says, it does not yet appear to them who we are. So they don't know yet, because they can't see the mark. But you that have the mark, you should know. Tell me, say, there is a mark. I have been sealed. Hallelujah. And so I have been stamped. A stamp was placed on me. That whenever you see this stamp, this document belongs to this office. So I am not my own. In fact, this will even help you to break away from sin. The reason we don't play with our body and do anything with our body is because this body does not belong to you anymore. Someone bought this body. I didn't get the point. Someone bought this body and stamped this body. Whenever the devil sees you, he sees the mark. He sees the seal. Let me say this to you. If you are not saved, you already have the mark of the Antichrist. You don't need any physical mark. I'm telling you. Take it from me.
There's not going to be any mark going to be put on people. The mark is already on some people. Unbelievers, when they get saved, they get our own mark. The beautiful thing is that the Holy Ghost says, he said, I will give you the Holy Ghost and he will stay with you forever. So he's never, that mark is there. It's marked. There's a mark. The Holy Ghost is that mark. So first of all, that mark is for identification. So the Holy Ghost is the seal of our identification. It's the seal of our redemption. Are you still here this morning? Are you still here? Okay. Then, go back to that. Wow. You see, message said, his spirit has stamped us. It's an eternal pledge. Go back to to King James. Let's look at that scripture again. He says, who has also sealed us and given what? The earnest of the spirit in our hearts. The earnest. Romans 8:23. I'll come back to that shortly. Romans 8:23. He said, and not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Everybody please look at this scripture closely. Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. So first of all, I've shown you that we are redeemed. But now this verse is trying to tell us that there's another redemption that will happen. Can you see? What's that redemption? The redemption of our body. Our body. Our body. What's that? Huh? Rapture. Yes. That's why you can never see rapture in the Bible. Like that word, rapture. You can't find it in the Bible. How you get to the point? Are you amazed? Huh? It's not in the Bible. Search anywhere. That word, rapture, is not in the Bible. But this is what he's talking about here. The redemption of our body. Okay? The redemption. And he says that we are waiting for that redemption of our body. Now, that is what we call rapture. What will happen is that we will receive our new body. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 1. There's the redemption of our body. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. He said, for we know, oh glory, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle we are dissolved. What's the earthly house? Our body, right? So he calls our body the earthly house. See, if it were dissolved, we have a building of God. An house not made with hands. Eternal in heavens. What house is this? No, that's not it. No. He says, this building of God is not made with hands. Look at it, verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So that house is not talking about the physical, but it's talking about a new body that we'll receive. Are you here? A new body to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4. He says, for we that are in this tabernacle, that's this tabernacle, do groan, being burdened. Not for that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So what will happen at rapture, or the redemption of our body, is that this body will be gone, and a new body, right? That's what we call the redemption of our body. We collect our body, the heavenly body, our real body. That's what we call the last day. That's what we mean. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 30. Ephesians 4 verse 30. That's what we mean when we talk about rapture. When we talk about the last day. You know. Look at it. That's what we mean. When the Bible talks about the day of redemption. That's what we mean. Ephesians 4 verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, wherein you are sealed. Whereby you are sealed unto what? The day of redemption. So when the Bible talks about the day of redemption, it doesn't mean we are not redeemed already. Get the point? We already redeemed, but there is a day when we will collect our body, when we will put on a new body. Do you get it right? When we put on a new body now. And so we are redeemed, but we await the redemption of our body. Not this body, our body, our house, right? The heavenly house, the heavenly body. Okay. I think we are on the same page now. Go back to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22. Let's read. Who had also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. That word earnest is the Greek word arabon. That's A-R-R-H-A-B-O-N. The earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And I want to explain that arabon to you. Put up like NLT. Arabon means a pledge. That's what it just means. It's a pledge. But I want to explain something to you. He said he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. So the Holy Ghost, first of all, is a seal. Then he is a pledge placed in our hearts. That pledge is the word arabon. Placed in our hearts. Placed in our hearts. Placed in our hearts. Now, the word arabon, like I told you in the Greek, simply means a pledge. But you find out that that word pledge, I've touched on this scripture many times, but then I studied it again last 2 weeks and it opened up better. That word pledge, you see, does not fully describe the meaning of that word. Why? If you have your Greek concordance, do you have? Are you looking at it? Okay. You observe that it was well written there that that word is of a Hebrew origin. You observe? Okay. What that means is that word arabon is simply a transliteration from the Hebrew into Greek. Just means just to carry, just like you want to English size an Igbo word. Give my example. An English word you are Igbo sizing. All this word that is English. Huh? So just like you want to say something in Hebrew, but you don't want to change, you just carry it like that. So I'm going to show you what that word means. Are you ready? This will blow your mind. It says the Holy Ghost is the arabon of our inheritance. So that is an inheritance you're waiting for. What's that inheritance? The redemption of our body, right? Now, what the scripture looks like is saying is that the Holy Ghost is the pledge, the installments that God had to pay the Holy Ghost in so that we can be sure that we will receive our body. That's what it's saying it looks like. That is also a wonderful thing if that is it. But there is something more. And it's very beautiful. That word arabon was also used in the Old Testament. I told you it's just a word we moved from Greek into, from Hebrew into Greek in Genesis 38. It's a direct transliteration from Hebrew. Genesis 38 verse 17. You find that word arabon used. Genesis 38, 17. Put up the King James. We're working with King James. I'm going to tell you a story here. He said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, will thou give me a pledge? That word pledge in Hebrew is arabon. So he said, give me an arabon. Are you checking your Bible? Uh-huh. He says, give me an arabon. Give me an arabon, to be sure. Now, what story is this? It's a story of a woman who felt she has been cheated. Go to verse 14. Let's look at it. She felt that her father-in-law cheated her. So look at the story. And she put her widow's garments off from her. So she removed her widow's clothes. If you miss this, you might struggle. Covered her with a veil. And wrapped herself and sat in an open place. Which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown. And she was not giving unto him. She was not giving unto him to wife. So the father-in-law was supposed to give her one of the sons. You know, the tradition in Israel. But then they cheated her. So she wanted justice. So she disguised herself as a harlot. Go to the next verse, verse 15. And when Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. So she disguised herself and played a harlot. Do you understand the point? And acted like a harlot. Okay. And he turned unto her. So Judah saw the prostitute. And of course, she already knew the father-in-law. She knew the man would come. Hallelujah. Turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? Okay. And he said, I will send thee what? A kid. What is a kid? Small goat.
So what was their agreed payment?
What did they agree?
Small goods. It's not today that prostitution started being cheap.
It's not today.
Small goats.
Wow.
Just like people. Some goat prostitute for 500 naira. 500. At least if you want to eat frog, eat the big one.
Well, don't eat anyone.
But so they agreed
that what she would collect was what?
Small goat, a kid. And she said, "Will thou give me a pledge till you send it? Will you give me an arapon until you send it?" So what was this arapon supposed to be? Something that should be given to her to assure her. Okay, now go to the next verse. And he said, "What arapon shall I give thee?" And she said, "One, thy signet and thy bracelet and for a small goat." That's how arapon is used in the old, in Hebrew days. Arapon is that you want, you are owing, so you said, "I'm going to come pay you 500 naira. And I said, give me something." The way it's given in the Hebrew is something given as a security that is superior to what was promised. Can you imagine, just for a small goat, give me your signet. A signet ring for a Hebrew man is a sign of his authority. Give me your bracelet. Give me your staff. Just for a small goat. And Judah agreed, because that's the game. It's just like you go to a restaurant and you went to eat and you couldn't pay. Or your ATM is not working. And they say, and you ask the guy, "What am I going to keep?" The guy asks, "What are you going to keep?" To show that you will come back. He says, "Give me your PSC certificate, your international passport, and your phone, and maybe your ATM card, and your password. Drop them here." Now, if you drop that, why will you drop it? Because you want to assure that person that if I could drop my BSC certificate, my international passport, then you should be sure that I'm coming back. So arapon is giving is always more superior. Are you getting the gist? It's always more superior than the main thing. So a signet ring, a staff, a bracelet for a goat. Not even mature goat. Small goat. What is the message? The message is, I will definitely bring your goat. That's what it means, right? I will definitely. So the person that is giving these things is supposed to calm down and be assured that if this guy could drop this thing, he will surely come back. Imagine, drop your maybe your house documents. You have a house. Drop the house document. Drop your BS certificate. Drop your birth certificate. Drop international passport. And maybe your phone and your car. Somebody went to, someone was gisting me. It was like you went to, someone was telling me a story of someone that went somewhere to buy stuffs, you know, went to smoke and all, you know, these drugs. And then, I think the girl is following the line. She was just gisting me of someone, you know, and then he couldn't pay. What he spent was, what he was supposed to pay was about 30,000. And he was telling them, "I will come back to pay." They said, "Drop something." And he left his car. Now, when he leaves his car, all he's trying to say is, "My car is more valuable than 30,000. So once you have my car, you can let me go, because I'll surely come back for the car." Is it very clear? And that is arapon. Now go back. Go back to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22. Woo, glory. Who has also sealed us and given us the arapon of the Spirit in our hearts. So when God saved us, he said, "I will definitely come back for you. I will definitely give you your body." And I can imagine we saying, "What are you going to give us to assure us?"
He said, I'm going to give you an Arabon. That Arabon, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. That once that Holy Ghost, of course, the Holy Ghost, that is God himself. So he said, I'm going to live in you as an assurance that I will definitely give you this new body. Of course, the Holy Ghost is more valuable than whatever body that we're going to receive. Right? But he said, I'm going to give you as valuable as the Holy Ghost is. I'm going to use him as a pledge. That whenever you see the Holy Ghost in you, it is a proof and an assurance that definitely I will give you a new body. So we call him the Arabon. Oh, okay. Let's press a little further. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Oh, glory. See, them they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. He said, now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. Let's continue. And if Christ be in you. Put up an altar of this verse 10. I'll like to show you this. If Christ be in you. Look at NLT. Let's just get up from the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. Come. Let me hear you. 1, 2, 3, go. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been. Verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life. He will quicken. So it is that spirit that is in you that will vitalize your mortal body. So what is the assurance of my salvation? God did not just swear an oath. He gave me a pledge. He gave me an Arabon. He says, hold this. Though the body you will receive is more, this is more valuable than that body, but I'm going to give it to you. So that whenever you see it, you will be assured that, okay, let me put it in a simpler way, that you can never be left behind. That the rapture can never happen and you will not be there. Never. The rapture can never happen and the believer is found missing. That same spirit will quicken your mother. So what did God give us to assure us that this must happen? He gave us the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask you a question. If I drop my BSc certificate, drop my car key, drop my international passport for 1,000 naira drink that I drank in your bar, and you're still telling me, how am I sure you will come back? What does that mean? It means my unbelief is on a whole new level. So you think I'm going to leave my international passport, leave my car key for 1,000 naira? I am doing it to assure you. Whenever you doubt your salvation, whenever you doubt whether you'll be redeemed, whenever you doubt whether you'll be raptured, you know what you're doing? You are doubting the integrity of God. You're insulting God. You are saying, Father, you are going to leave your Holy Spirit here. Are you following me at all? 2 Corinthians 1, 22. Let's look at it again. With different translations. 2 Corinthians 1, 22. He said, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. As the Arabon that guarantees everything. He has promised us everything. So whenever you see the Holy Ghost inside of you, it's a guarantee. Wow. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Okay, before we get that, look at it. He says, he has appropriated and acknowledged us as his by putting his seal upon us. So the Holy Ghost is a seal, one. And what else? He gave us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security deposit. can guarantee. So what is the assurance of salvation we have? The Holy Ghost in us. That is the security deposit. Hallelujah. Woo. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Also that we're gonna be like NLT of that place. NLT. He said, do not bring sorrow to God's Spirit by the way you live, because He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So what is the guarantee that I won't miss heaven? The Holy Ghost. If God gives you the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about God giving Himself. You know the Holy Ghost is God. So God gave Himself to guarantee you that you'll be saved. And you are still doubting? Who? Guaranteeing that you will be saved. Put up like amplified. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden Him, by whom you are sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured. Woo, this is a woman Bible, right? I told you, right? Just talks too much. You were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the door of redemption or final deliverance through Christ from evil and consequences of sin. You were sealed, you were marked. God said, take me, take the Holy Ghost, just for you to be sure that I will not leave you here on earth. Just for you to be sure that this is your body, you're going to receive it. So what is there to doubt again? 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go again from verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 1. Maybe let's work with NLT, because it's getting more interesting. He said, but we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself, and not by human hands. Okay, verse 2. We grow weary in our present bodies. You know this body? It can grow weary. Hallelujah. And we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. We wear clothes too. Verse 3. Hey, Akela Krabatia. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. Do you understand? When we go to heaven, we're not spirits, we're not invisible things. We will be real. Bodies with a new body. Now, verse 4. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Now, verse 5. God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. As a guarantee. Some of us are still doubting that we're going to make heaven. You're still doubting that. You see, if one person is left behind here, no, God has failed. But you know, God can never fail. Hallelujah. You know, when I began to study this, I began to see how foolish it is to think you can lose your salvation. Okay, let me put it this way. How foolish it is to think that you will not be raptured ever. How many of you have watched the movie Left Behind? Have you watched it? Please don't watch it. Well, at least you watched that kind of hell. Marshall. Listen, is there hell? Yes. Will some people go there? Yes. Can the believer go there?
No.
Never. Why? There's an Arab one in our hearts. The Holy Ghost said, I'm going to live in you, so that whenever you see me, whenever you remember I'm still there, He should assure you that if, so God puts Himself on the line. You put, it's just like putting your car, your certificate and everything on the line. And the barman still says, how am I sure you come back for my 300 night? What's wrong with you? Where is your unbelief coming from?
What happened to you? God wants that whenever you see
the Holy Ghost in you, He should assure you.
And so when we sing songs like Something More Than Gold, we have something. When we say that the Holy Ghost is more than gold, we know what we are saying. His presence in us guarantees that. You see, the salvation thing is a done deal. So what is your assurance of salvation? The Holy Ghost in my heart. God Himself, Proverbs Amplified, Kaladabashandia. Now He who has fashioned us, preparing and making us fit for this very thing, is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Proverb Message. As a guarantee. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our heart so that we will never settle for less. Proverbs in the translation, like any other translation. Now, He who has prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge, as an Arab, as something we can look at and say, well, if this is still here. So let me ask you a question. If you are the barman and I drop my car key, I'm not talking about any car, not my taxi, I drop my car key, the key to my Range Rover Sport, you know that car, right? And I drop it there, and I drop my BSc certificate, and I drop all of those things, and what I'm owing you is 500 Naira Hero that I drank. If I do not come after 1 week, are you going to be troubled? Why won't you be troubled? His car is here. The Arabon is here. There's no way this guy will not come back for this thing. So whether it takes 10 years for Jesus to return, whether it takes 30 years for Him to return, I am not moved. There is a guarantee. He said Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. Whether He comes or not now, whether He comes next year or next 10 years, I am not going to miss rapture. I'm not missing rapture. Listen. If rapture happens and I did not go, I will wake up from the dream. Because it can never happen. You say why? God will not leave a ballet kateya. He won't. He cannot drop His Spirit here and then go. Oh. Whoa. Give me that mic. Something more than gold. I've got something. If all I have is Jesus, I've got
something more than gold.
Yes.
I'll tell this to the world. Jesus is more than gold.
How many of you know that the presence of the Holy Ghost in our hearts
is
a double assurance that what has happened has happened?
To the world. Jesus is more than gold.
Something more than gold.
Something more than gold.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord within me is something more than gold.
Do more than.
Something more than gold.
Yes.
Something more than gold.
Oh, Lord,
the Spirit of the Lord within me is
Listen, maybe someone is asking, how am I sure I have the Holy Spirit? I can't even ask that question. Except you have not heard the gospel and believed it. The day you heard the gospel and believed the gospel, the Holy Ghost came into you. The Bible tells us, it says, but I don't speak in tongues. Well, speaking in tongues is an experience that you need, and you will have it now. Yo. But you see, that is not what guarantees that you have the Holy Ghost or not. Whether you need it, you need it. Woo! The Holy Ghost is living in me. So when God saved me, He branded me. He put a mark on me. And when He put a mark on me, He left the Holy Ghost. He said, whenever you see my spirit in you, just calm down. I will save you. I will come and take your body. So as my pastor will put it, he said, I swear you will never perish. I swear you will never die. I swear I will save your body. The next time you think of that, your salvation, just know that the Holy Ghost is still there. He said, I will never leave you.
I will never leave you. Hallelujah. Stand your feet. I thought I'd not teach for long.
Spirit of the Lord within me. Need something more than gold.
I love the man
of Galilee.
Yes, 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 yes.
For he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins.
And sent the Holy Ghost
to me.
If you're here this morning and you don't pray in tongues,
I'm not going to lay hands on you, but there's going to be a wave of the presence of God in this place, and you'll begin to pray in tongues, because we are going to dance and sing in tongues this morning.
We're going to celebrate the presence of the Holy Ghost.
I love the man.
Oh, glory.
I love the for he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins. I send the Holy Ghost to me.
Wonderful that sometimes, and it should happen all the time, we feel the tangible presence of the Holy Ghost. But can I say this to you? Whether you feel it or not, the Holy Ghost is inside of you. Once you believe the gospel, whether you feel the presence, whether you feel something, whether you feel the fire, like right now there's a strong presence in this place. But see, even without this feeling, the Holy Ghost is there. Hallelujah. For the Lord
God, omnipotent reigneth.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank God for salvation. Okay, let me close this series. Everything I've been trying to say since 3 weeks now is that there is no reason ever. You see, the next time you doubt your salvation and you think you're going to lose it, you are doubting the sacrifice of Jesus.
Okay?
You're doubting the promise he made. You're doubting the oath he swore. You are doubting the words he spoke. Jesus himself. Then you are doubting the work, the presence of the Holy Ghost in your heart. It's not worth it. It's a baseless doubt. It's a baseless argument to ever think that a believer can lose his salvation. Except he was never saved. So one of the people that John said, they left us because they were never part of us. Because if they were part of us,
they wouldn't have gone anywhere.
So a man that swore an oath, gave you his spirit. You see, he made a promise, he swore an oath, and he gave a pledge. That man
was not doing those things for himself. He was doing it for you.
He was doing it because he says, I know there is a tendency that when I'm done with all these things, you might still start doubting. So I'm going to give this. That whenever you remember my sacrifice, I remember the promise I made to Abraham. I remember the oath I swore to Abraham. I remember the oath that I swore to Jesus, that I swore to myself. I remember the spirit that is at work in your heart. You will know that something has happened to me. Something has happened to you. And it will never change. Hallelujah. So if you don't pray in tongues, we're going to start praying in the next 5 minutes. If you don't pray in tongues, I'll tell you what to do. Because right now, as I'm talking, the presence of the Holy Ghost, whether you're following online or listening on the tape or anywhere, the presence of the Holy Ghost is strong where you are. And as you start praying in the Holy Ghost, what's going to happen is just lift your voice and start thanking God. You'll be thanking Him. And then a language is going to come. Now, you say, where is it going to come from? From your inside. I'm not saying you're going to fall. You might fall. You may not fall. Okay? But then, the language is going to come. That, you know why I'm saying it so easily like this? Because the day you believe the gospel, the Holy Ghost already came into you. Already. So, it's not now that He will come in. He's there. What you're just going to do is to give expression to a language that is already on your inside. And so we all are going to be praying in tongues, and that will be to encourage you to be able to lift your own voice. I'm going to speak. Am I going to know what I'm saying when I start speaking in tongues? No, you may not.
You wouldn't. That's why it's a thing of faith.
But let me tell you what is going to happen. When you begin to speak it, you will sense that stirring on your inside. It's not, you're not playing. Woo! You say, why? The Holy Ghost is already there. So what do we do with tongues? You know, this tongues thing. You know, I'm just reminding myself, the Holy Ghost is still here. Salvation is still intact. So what if I start speaking in tongues? Well, you stopped. It means you can start when you want to. Why? He will never leave you. He said He will never forsake you. I will never leave you. So He's there. He's there. Are you ready to pray in the Holy Ghost this morning? I like you to top of your voice. Lift your voice. Talk in the Holy Ghost. Everybody here.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.